What a treat. Two scheme boys today. Top man in Possible meets the top man in Steps. I've done a bit of my research on you, alright? This is what I got back. A lovable madman. You know who that quote came from?
John Lambie.
Strathclyde Polis.
Alright.
No, everyone I spoke to says, great player, but a madman. Would you go along with that?
Nah, not necessarily a madman, but I just had a bit of temper. But after the game, it was done. You know what I mean? So, just gone with it.
But a big character?
I enjoyed football. I enjoyed entertaining people. And I could relate to most people in the terraces. Mm-hmm. So that was probably my forte, aye.
See, being that character, did that come for growing up in Possible?
It did. A lot of my pals are for Possible, and there's one particular guy. My book came out, I think it was 6-7 years ago. And
what's it called? Get a wee plug and get a
chat. Oh, well, it's done now. You'll get it for £2 now. But he was a shoplifter on the tune in Glasgow, and the book came out this day. And he went out and stole 10 books and gave them away in Possible. So, take a pal. I think done out of money.
What was it like growing up there football wise, though?
Football wise, it was a lot of it's like schemes, you know what I mean? Like, whenever you came for schemes or just played football, you know what I mean? Just played. I remember playing up the park with men that were maybe in their 25s, and I'd maybe be 13, 14, and just playing with them, you know what I mean? But there were some really, really talented players, you know what I mean? And it just never made it, just for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And I was just fortunate enough, I got a wee break.
You talked about your mate, said, was it hard to stay out of trouble growing up in Possible?
No, because I disciplined with my family, you know what I mean? But, well, to a certain extent. But no, it's whatever you came for, you know what I mean? Possible, it's like anywhere else, you know what I mean? But your parents and that and your family guide you, so I think that was the biggest factor for me. You can't have done anything wrong. I'd get hammered in my ma. Uh-huh.
So playing boys club and then what, St Mirren picked you up at first?
Well, I never played any serious football. I played for St Teresa School and I just went and watched Celtic. I was 12 and never played any serious football. And then my pal, John Bell, he ran Postal Villa, it was an amateur team, and I think it was 17. And he says, come and play. And I went and played anyway, and it was Saturday after then. And then after that, Glencairn came to watch a big pal of mine who was playing, and they signed me. And St Mirren came to watch him again in the Glencairn game, and he scored 4 goals a week before against Dennis Connigan, the ex-Celtic goalie. And they came the second week and I scored a hat trick, and they signed me again. So that was my start. Ricky McFarlane signed me.
And then at St Mirren, and there was a wee story about Alex Muller with the boots. What happened?
Well, Ricky McFarlane, as I say, signed me the first time. I was 19. I got in the team after a couple of months. Thought it was Jack Ladd and McAvaney and McDougall. They two used to pick me up in the morning. They were my mentors.
How was their pattern?
What chance did I have? They two were my mentors. I never towed the line. And then Alex Muller came. And Alex, being at Rangers all the years, wanted to bring more professionalism into the club, like getting the young boys to do the boots, the terraces and showers and so on. So he says, Charlie, you're doing the boots and Wednesdays. I said, I'm not doing the boots. He says, you're doing the boots on Wednesdays. I said, I'm not doing the boots and I help him with a boot. So that's my first free transfer.
What did he do back to you? Nothing?
No, nothing. Like, put me in the door. They end up, he let me go to Air United. So, and that was that. I just moved to Air.
How was that being in a dressing room with guys like Frank McAvaney?
Well, as I say, I thought, no, I mean, I was travelling with McAvaney and McDougall, and as I say, I thought, because I was in the first team, I thought it was a big shot and all that, and it was totally wrong. I mean, you'd boys later on, latterly, I signed the second time, and you'd boys like Paul Lambert came, well, was there as a kid, and they applied themselves, you know what I mean, the way they should, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, and look what he went on today, you know what I mean, so. I think, but with McAvaney, McDougall, Abercrombie, you know what I mean? It was mad. You know
Frank
I mean?
Ever take you out?
Who?
Frank.
I was always out with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I was 19, I was always out. And but it was totally wrong, you know what I mean? Fair, a football point of view, but the other side was all right.
Because you ended up dropping down to the juniors. When was you eventually thought, right, I need to get my head screwed on here?
I went to United, and then I was only there 4 months, and then I just chucked it. I didn't play. I think it was 2.5 years. And my pal had a contract up in the Ardisir, up in the Riggs. And they had a football team up there. And Nairn, And he said, come up and play in this team. He said, I'll give you a job. So I was going up, I think I was getting 400 quid a week. You know, right, it was more money I was getting in football, and double the money then. And I was doing nothing. And he had the contract, Nard this year. So I went up there and I worked there for about a year. Well, I just hung about there. And then I came back down, and Jimmy Shoes played with Falkirk and Kilmarnock, came from Milton, and he knew us. And he got in touch with Dickie Brock, the Pollock manager. So I went there and played a game with him, and then they signed me. And then Jack Steedman signed me after, I think it was six games. The first game he came to see me, Steedman, Jack, I got sent off on the Saturday afternoon against Hannibal Hayes. He played for Morton. He's quite a hard guy, and I got sent off for him. And then the Wednesday, I went and played in the reserve game for Clydebank with a view to signing, doing it Somerset. I get sent off now.
Why are you so angry?
And he's still sent me. So Jack's now certified.
So was it for Hamilton that John Lambie picked you up?
I played, no, Jack Stevens signed me for Clydebank, and then the gaffer signed me for then to Hamilton when he was at Hamilton.
Hamilton, was what was your first impressions the first time you met him?
Well, what happened was, David Wilson was the Queen of South manager, and he phoned me just the week before and said he wanted to sign me, and he offered me 10 grand, and I think it was £100 a week part-time. So I was ready to sign, and then Lambie comes on the phone, but Lambie was parley with David Wilson, so he got wind that I was free. Mm. And two of them were pigeon fanciers, and all that's what they do is the racing pigeons. So Lambie comes on the phone. I don't listen to him. He said, I'll sign you. He says, come out and see me. So I went and saw the gaffer at Hamilton. He gave me £2,000 signing on fee and full time. So that's what I done. I signed for him, and it was the best thing I ever done.
So you lost out of money to sign
for him? I lost it, but in the long run it worked out. But it was just because of the impression I had with Lambie at the start. You know what I mean? He was brilliant.
Was he full of patter straight away?
Aye, well, right away. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Don't listen to him. They were slagging Wilson and all that. But but again, because it was full time and all, it got me back in it.
Did he say to you when you signed, listen, you need to change?
He did, but the thing with John Lambie, well, years later I found out, but if you told Lambie the truth, you were fine, you know what I mean? He just hated them to tell him any lies, and that one that quite early on, you know what I mean?
What was the lie you told him?
I just told him I couldn't make training. He found out, and he knew. But he said, just don't tell me any lies. But I'll tell you a story. Years later, when he signed me, I think for the third time at Thistle, I've no phoned in the Monday, I've no phoned in the Tuesday, so on the Wednesday I'm sitting in the house, and I'm saying, what have I got to do? I'd been out all weekend, and my wife said, there's John Lambie coming up the drive. So I'm all dishevelled, no shaved or that, and I see the gaffer coming up the drive, so she goes into the kitchen, so he grabs me, and says, see if you don't get any of that train tomorrow, I'm going to tell her what you're all about, and after that. So anyway, that was fine. So I goes in the Thursday morning, train's on the Thursday, train's on the Friday, shouts me into the office, I'm playing you tomorrow, you better not let me down. I said, no, gaffer, fine. Played Kilmarnock on Saturday, I scored one, made one, but I was hopeless, you know what I mean? I was very fortunate. So after the game, the gaffer, I get the papers on the Sunday morning, reads the papers. The gaffer's went to the press and says, see, I've got Charlie doing this and doing that. He said, I had to get the boy out of his bed there on Friday. He was in his bed with flu all week. He said, you have got him doing this. So I read the papers, he said, brilliant, that's me, Jack Ladd again. Because in the Monday, you office. I said, what have I done? I'm saying to myself, what have I done? I've not done it in a weekend. You office. I said, that's it. And you. They'll not tell me when I'm getting rid of you. You find a week's wages, go.
Find your week's wages, didn't you? What do you think you liked about you, John Lambie? Why did he like you so much?
I don't know. I think he could see a bit of me in him. You know what I mean? But I don't know. And again, he freed me also. You know what I mean? He freed me at one stage in my career as well. So people, although I think he liked me as a person, but obviously, because I could play a wee bit as well, you know what I mean? But he used to sign guys who other teams wouldn't touch as well, you know what I mean? That's the way he was. But I just liked the way he was. Even up until he died there a couple of months ago, I was out seeing him, he was out seeing me, we kept on the phone 3 times a week or whatever. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? He was brilliant.
You said that about the boys he'd signed. We went to Thistle after Hamilton, and he signed yourself and a couple of characters. Was that a good dressing
room? Oh, aye. He signed, I think there was one Monday after training, I think, 16 years went out, and it was just spur of the moment. 16 years went out, and then I think it was about 80 the next day after training, all went out. You know what I mean? So it was Alan Dinney, you know what I mean, and Steve Pittman, Roddy Grant, Jerry Britton, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. They were all smokers, every one of them smoked.
Uh-huh. Would Lambie go out with us?
No, he wouldn't go out, no.
But he didn't mind just going it?
No, he didn't, as long as you trained, know what I mean? That's what the gaffer's motto was as well. If you trained, you were all right, know what I mean? But majority of players did that anyway.
What's the biggest rollicking you got off him at Thistle the first time?
Well, I had a few, you know what I mean? He slapped me once, you know what I mean? I know, you know what I mean? He slapped me in the jaw once, but I couldn't do anything but laugh. The young kids up in the Canal Bank at Mary Hill, they used to hit the golf balls for the Canal Bank into our stadium, you know what I mean? Just for joy. And then we're jogging round the Friday one morning, and there's a couple of golf balls lying in the pitch. So I've picked one up and I've lobbed it, and it's bounced off the gaffer's head. So he's went, "What's that?" And I said, "That's him up in that Canal Bank." But if it came with the Canal Bank, it would have killed him. You know what I mean? So he's shouting all the wall, "Yeah, wee bastards," and that, and shouting, screaming all the wall. So that was fine. So we went to the dressing room, and I went and said, because I could talk to him, you know what I mean? Emdy could talk to him. And I said to him, I said, "That was me hot you were that boy, you daft old." And he's like, "Oh, is that right? I'll get you back." So that was fine. Next week, we're out training. I comes in. He's standing behind the door on a chair, up in the chair with a medicine ball, and battered it right down my head. I said, "You nearly broke my neck." He said, "Your mother should have wrung your neck."
Bro, I was going to say, did you ever do the dues, man?
No, we done. We were going to play Aberdeen one day, you know. And some of these pigeons were worth a right few quid, you know what I mean? He used to take us down to the Blackpool to prepare for the Scottish Cup for the third round, you know, where the big teams come in it. But it coincided with the pigeon convention, which was held in Blackpool, and that's the reason he took us down there to prepare for the game. When he was with Hamilton, he took Hamilton down there when he beat Rangers. No, I mean, he was bonkers. And we're playing Aberdeen up there at Petrology, because up the next minute he's went, "Hold on," he's away out of the boot of the bus, go to his crate of dues, and let his dues away up in the park. No, I mean, it was mad, but it was great. And people didn't, his knowledge of football was good as well. No, I mean, people didn't realise that. He worked with Eddie Tumble for a while as well. No, right. I mean, his knowledge was quite good, but say that the press and all that loved him because he was brilliant for them.
That was my next question. What kind of manager was he? See, back then, was there coaching or was it just man management?
He didn't really, he could coach, you know what I mean? But he just knew how to get the best of you. And that's what Alan Archibald, spoke about it a million times. He said, "I never got coached at Thistle." He was a young boy. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that coached me was Duff, and he was a player. You know what I mean? The gaffer used to say, young boys, when they're good, they can come in. All that. But one time, some of his methods were bonkers. It was one is like the four midfielders. If one went over, no, he'd just shut her. Right? So he's next minute, he shouts to the wee kit man, "Get us a rope." "Get us a rope." He's away hunting for a rope. So he's got this big rope. Right, tie his horns.
No way.
So he's got the four of his tied, right? Right, so, and he's got it.
You thought you were back in the jail?
I thought I was back in the bondage. So he's got it, so he had it the length, so you had to move if somebody pulled it, right? So I was pulling it and burning the wee guy next to me. He's like, "Stop it." But that was something. He was one of the first, I know, to introduce the tyres. He used to get a big rope again and tie it to a tyre, you know, the wheel of a car, the tyre, and you used to run 100 yards with this going about you. But see, sometimes if you stood and it burnt your neck and all that. But he used to laugh. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And another time we're up Rock Hill and we're running up and down the hill, and then he's at his golf club out and we're running down the hill and he's hitting four iron balls over the head and all that. But some of the things, you wouldn't get away with some of the things.
Was it great times ahead?
Brilliant. He was brilliant. You know what I mean? I think anybody, as I say, we're at his funeral there, and the amount of players that was there, no, I know it happens at all places, but even guys that you get ready, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They still liked him. You know what I mean? I took the youths. He gave me the job with the youths up there. And I was a wee young boy from Mary Hill, and he came in with a big Rangers ring and a Rangers chain and the Rangers crest and all that on this chain. So I was kidding him. I said, "You come up and see the gaffer." I said, "This is Thistle you play for, no Rangers." So wee guy's like that. So takes him up, the gaffer sitting at his desk. I opened the door. I said, "Gaffer," I said, "look at him." I said, "Rangers this, Rangers that." I said, "Tell him it's Thistle he's playing for, the gaffer. You make up wee guy the captain," he says. Wee guy walked out of that.
Brilliant.
Like, that's the way he was. He was brilliant. No, I mean, even like, even didn't matter who they were, not any man in the street, he'd millions of time for everybody.
Uh-huh, just a good guy.
Was great.
What about team talks and after games? Some peculiar ones?
He always got names mixed up and all that. We were playing one time and he'd put all the cups around for the other team. doing out with the cops and all that. So we're all sitting, and it was quite serious, and he's doing out with the cops. Now, when Gaff and I say something, he's like, what is it? I says, is this a cup game? I'll come get him, help me up through one of the cups.
But, oh, brilliant.
But he always get names mixed up, and then wee Bob McKelly, wee Bob was going watching the opposition for us one time, and I can't remember who it was, but wee Bob would give him a sheet like that, you know, thick with all the, what they done, set pieces, and the gaffer came in and looked at that. Ah, oh, that's a load of shite. Wee Bob spent about 4 hours writing this thing.
Oh, poor Bob.
It was mental. Uh-huh. I mean, but again, he got the best of people, and he was just great, you know what I mean? But his knowledge of football as well, you know what I mean? He couldn't have done what he'd done without knowing football.
Uh-huh. How was the partnership with him and Jerry? Was it Jerry Collins?
No, the gaffer, it was Jerry was at Hamilton, and Jerry went to Thistle and Loan, and he was at Thistle and Loan when the gaffer was at Hamilton. He says, get Lambie, you know what I mean? He'll sort the club out. When he came back, it was fine, you know what I mean? Because they two are pals. Uh-huh.
What's Jerry like as a guy?
He's all right. No, he's all right. He couldn't play, but... He was good in the dressing room. Jerry was good in the dressing room. You know what I mean? But done a job. You know what I mean? I think he won the championship with Ayr United and went with Hamilton and Thistle. You know what I mean? So, but
there's nothing wrong with just getting signed for being good in the dressing room. I've made a career.
No, I know. Need a wee bit.
I need to ask you about Sweden, mate. How did that come about? You going over to Sweden?
Well, Sweden. What happened was, I went down to Bolton and loan. The second time was at St Mirren. I went down there, came back up. And then Gordon Smith, he was with assistant with Davy Haight at St Mirren, and he'd cut a contact saw there, so I went away there, and I went there for a week. It was in the winter, it was in January, I think, and then they signed me, they wanted to sign me, so I signed. And but it was all, in hindsight, I maybe should have stayed there. You know what I mean? Because I'd negotiated my contract, I never had an agent that, but it was before Bosman. And I'd done my own stuff, and I'd negotiated on it that I was free to go after the contract finished. It was a year aside. And I got a few quid off from signing on fee. But the lease shuts, I think it's for between July and August or something like that, right? So I was coming in, but I got booked once, and I was playing really well. I didn't need distractions. My wife and my wains were all there and that, and I was only out once when you and Graham for the Sun came out to do an article on us and we stayed out. So, but I was flying, you know what I mean? And as I say, I got booked once and I had this in my contract that I was free to go when the contract finished at the end of the season. So when I came back for the 3 weeks back to Scotland, the chairman phoned me. He said, listen, I want to sell you. I said, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Because I knew I would have got a few quid because I was free when I came back. And he said, no, we want to sell. I said, I'm not going. So he said, Huddersfield want you. So I went down to Huddersfield and played a reserve game and I was hopeless. You know what I mean? But I wasn't even going to go anyway, but I went down to see what happened. And then I came back up the road and then I said, I want to come back here. And he said, well, we're wanting to sell you. I said, well, I need to wait and see what happens. So I phoned Tony Higgins. He said, well, you've got all the cards. And then he said, the gaffer phoned. And then that was me, I'll be back with him.
Would it only have been him that you'd have left for?
No, because when I came back here, I played a game, a reserve game for Thistle, under 21, so you're allowed to play three overages or something, mm-hmm. against Tommy Burns' Kilmarnock, and played down there. So I'm up at Firhill on the Friday, and my pal stayed across the road for Firhill, no mobile phone, stayed across, and he phoned up and said, Tommy Burns wants to talk to you. So Tam wanted to sign me. At Kilmarnock. Yeah. So they're ready there with the gaffer and Jim Oliver, and the gaffer said, just sign here. So I signed there, and we played Kilmarnock on the Saturday, and I misplayed a pass to Danny Craney, Puffer, and he heard it for 40 yards and beat his 1-0. Lambie said, he could have took you.
See, just on Sweden, how did the boys over there handle a guy like you in the dressing room?
Well, I was
did
all right.
You still get a laugh in it?
Aye, but all there, they were dead, not very professional, and they were all... They were all athletes, but that was the thing I found, that it was like the pre-season we'd done, they never done any like running for half an hour nor that. It was all like 800 yards, you know what I mean? It was all 400 yards, not 100 yards, you know what I mean? It was all sharp stuff.
Short and sharp. Aye,
even pre-season, but it was hard, but it was nothing like the stuff we used to do, you know what I mean? Be sick and all that. Mm-hmm. But the boys were all right, but sometimes they would give a wee look and say, the fuck have we got here?
Screw it. Did you meet Tommy Burns, or just a phone call?
No, the phone, but I know later on, I spoke to him, and I spoke to him after that, and he did want to sign me, because when I played that game down there, and he did want to sign me, and again, it would have been, because Tam went to Celtic after that.
So maybe if he'd done well there, you could have ended up there. Huh?
I know, but again, if man had boys.
I would take her out if she had boys. back in the 90s in the heyday, were you out all the time in the town?
Well, I was mostly in Postal, and then we went in the town. I'll tell you a true story. Me and Alan Dinney, Mark knows him well, not good pal, I mean. Victoria's was in place then, and me and him were up there this night. So it was running about Christmas. So we're just ready to get home, walking around the hall. So out of the corner of my eye, I looks and I see these five women sitting right. So I've looked there and I've took a double take. Who was one of the five women? My wee ma. so I goes, well, and I says, Dale, I said, ma, what are you doing here? She said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm going to tell my dad, you don't tell my wife. She said, it's a Christmas night out. True story. Christmas night. I said, Mona, I'll get you up the road. So she's taking my errand, right? And I'm walking down the hall, down the stairs. So Peter, who was the manager on the door, he knew, isn't it? And then other bouncer started. And so Peter says, good night, chick. I said, good night. And we eyes just take my errand. So we're just ready to go to the door. The other bouncer opens the door. And as soon as we're back, it's turned, the bouncer says to Peter, he's really clutching at straws now. Oh, you might say, what did he say there? I said, he says you're looking well, hen.
Oh, is he gone? See, when you were going out at that time, would you just go out with the Celtic and Rangers boys as well, or was it?
Well, you met them now and again in the town, but we normally stuck with it. It was only a couple of us that really hung about, you know what I mean, like Alan Dinney and Pittman, Steve Pittman, his boys playing in the new. Pitts, you just go through to his place and that. Yeah. Pitts was in D, and you know what I mean, brilliant times. I had great times with Pitts and that. But the boys for Postal and that, we used to just go in and that.
So,
uh-huh.
So was it always your own? Would you never go with football pals? Was it always your own?
Noon again, but it was predominantly the boys fell up the road.
Uh-huh. And see, back in the days, how close to a game could you get away with going it?
But seriously, I don't even think I went out on a Thursday, very rarely, you know what I mean? And I'm not just, I can say it now, you know what I mean? But Friday, aye, no a Thursday, no. No, but, no, there was one time I done it, and my pal, Bobby Dempster, had Rockefellers in Postal, and he had that. And I'd been dropped with Clyde Bank. So the next week, I said, I'll not be playing it. So I was up there the Friday at Rockefellers, 3 a.m, totally hammered, because him playing, and it was a scorching day, I think it was maybe about start of May, season really finished. So I was away through to Kilbowie and I was really blitzed, really. And I said, I'll not be playing anyway. So Jack Steedman, Jack used to pick the teams, Jack named the team, and I was playing. And he wanted me wide in the left.
Graveyard shift.
And I was like, right, okay. And I was howling. So he played me and I scored a hat-trick. But again, I was fortunate, you know what I mean? I can't remember who we were playing, but I scored a hat-trick. I think it was 2 free kicks. And then, anyway, I scored a hat-trick and that was that. And I've been back to the pub right after the game, right up to Rockefellers again. And the boys were going, no danger. But I actually got carried in, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But that was one of the few times. And honestly, I've never really done it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. See, at Thistle, was that the best dressing room you were involved in?
It would be, but it was just because of the guys that were in it, you know what I mean? Jerry Britton was brilliant, you know what I mean? Mark will tell you.
Funny.
Oh, brilliant and clever, and you know what I mean? But really funny, you know what I mean? Really, but because he was like, he could get away with it, he was sleek at it, you know what I mean? Like, but the gaffer knew, you know what I mean? But Jerry Britton was brilliant in the dressing room.
Was
there
pranks on each other back
all the time. Well, I didn't, see, I used to hate that. Mm-hmm. See, when I waited in D later on and all that, and they used to nail the shoes to the hangman and all that. Mm-hmm. But you've got good shoes and that, and they're nailing them and all that. I had warned them a few times. But some of the stuff, Jerry was bonkers.
Was he, huh?
Bonkers.
Because when you see him now, because he's quite high up there now, you think he's quite sensible and that?
Oh, he is. No, when he wants to be, no, but Jerry in his dressing room was bananas.
And another guy, your big mate Jim Duffy, was he?
Duff, as I say, Duff signed me. Duff played with me at Thistle. And then he signed me for Dundee when he was player manager. Mm-hmm. And then he signed me for Hibs when he left. And then he gave us a job at Clyde's assistant manager with him. Mm-hmm. And then he said enough.
Ever since you've left him, he's kind of went up.
Oh, no, I know. I'll tell you a true story with Duff. Duff's one of my good pals. He's brilliant. And Duff is fantastic for me, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for Duff, I know, you know what I mean? But we got up to play, I think it was Elgin. And this isn't manager's job, it's on the bus to count the players, right? So I didn't count them. So we're going up. So we get to Perth and we signed the boy Fulton, Steve Fulton's boy, no Jay, the other one. Okay. We signed him for Falkirk on the Friday. But Duff never had his phone number. He signed him. So we get to Perth and we're Captain John Sweeney comes in and says, "Chick, I can't remember his first name. He's not on the bus. Fulton's not on the bus." I said, "You kidding me on? I thought he was winding me up." He said, "He's not on the bus." Oh, fuck. So Duff's sitting there and I'm going, "How am I going to say that to him?" The fiddle's sitting at my back and I've leaned there and I went, "Gaffer." I said, "Fulton's not on the bus." Duff went, "No, Duff could be no, mental." Duff went, "Chick, you've got one fucking job." He said, "You've got one job, count the players." So, no, I can laugh now, right? So, it was fucking crazy, I've gone, "Oh no." So, as luck would have it, my part, he had to phone Elvis, he was the manager. I had to phone him to get the boy's number. So, we left at 10 o'clock for Broadwood. So, Duff gets the number, he's been pitching, I'm sitting across, and I'm like, "He's going to kill me." So, Duff eventually gets the boy, he said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm at Broadwood." He said, "I thought it was 11 o'clock, we're to be there." So the saving grace for me a wee bit. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
You still the wrong time. Uh-huh.
So we get up there, we played the Elgin. So Stevie Fulton brought his boy up. He said, "My dad will take us up." Takes him up, gets there, played the Elgin. He played him for the start. He had a shocker, whipped him off at half time. We get beat 5-0, right? I'm going to get it. So this is what happened, Simon. So we're sitting in the dressing room. After the game, his Duff Street's ready to start. Does the wee boy Fulton's phone not go off, right?
Duff said,
"Put that phone off." So he's putting it off. He's just put it inside.
I put it up.
So next minute, phone goes again. And Duff's, "Get off." So that was it. He's done his bit and blah, blah, blah. So the wee fool, he said to me, "Chat, is it all right if I go with him, my dad?" I said, "I'm coming with you." Oh, but amazing. Again, you know what I mean? But Duff was brilliant. You know what I mean? And Duff in the dressing room and all. Even with Duff, like players that done things and all that, Duff could forgive easily as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He wasn't the one who wanted to keep it going and all that. You know what I mean?
See, in the dressing room as a player, was he the one that would get on to people on that, Duff?
But the good way about it, you know what I mean? As a player, he was brilliant. You know what I mean? He was fantastic player.
That's what I mean. As a player at Crystal, would he be the one that would get on to boys?
Yeah. Yeah. And everywhere he went, you know what I mean? Everywhere he went, he was like, when he signed me for Dundee, we played a game up there and he was sweeper and he was try to play as well and Dino is organising and I was away back and I get the ball and I think it was our 18-year box and I nutmeg somebody and he ran up and he grabbed me and said, "See, you did that again." On the park. Duff is brilliant.
Uh-huh. So is that not a fair reflection on the type of player you were?
No, it wasn't, because most of it was for retaliation as well, you know what I mean? And I knew players were out to wind me up and I couldn't a butt all the time. I mean, because as the gaffer said, I couldn't tackle. I mean, I was hopeless at that. I couldn't hit it. You know what I mean?
So would opposition players be able to wind you up, Jack?
Oh, aye. Uh-huh. But again, I done it myself, I know, uh-huh. But I used to bite, you know what I mean? When we played against Walter Kidd, the Hearts, me and him used to just stun. I'd be maybe out on the left and he'd be right back. We'd punching each other, you know what I mean? It was bonkers. And it was literally just the boys away and he would have a punch at me and I would have a punch at him. And then Dave McKinnon, who was with Rangers and played against him with Airdrie, and the exact same thing with him. And it was just wiring in, but I'll tell you a true story about him. The Comet Bar was a pub in Postal, and Dave, I think, was a rep for tenants or something. Mm-hmm. when he was finished, and I'm in there, I think it might have been a Monday, and a big squad, and there was no windies. They used to call it Hitler's Bunker, right? So we're all sitting in there, and Dave came in, and again, after football, you never did it borrow him, do you know what I mean, that way. So he's come in on the Monday, and looked to this place, I don't know what I mean, it was Afghanistan when he looked bad. So he's come in and we were all sitting, there was guys and he's looking and he's went pure white.
Did he?
Pure white. And he's went to see wee Tam who owned the place and like that and that. And I went, "All right, Dave." He went, "Aye, check." But all right, I've never seen a guy going so white. But I've never spoke to him, it was great. And I know I've spoke to him plenty of times since, but I've never seen a guy going a colour. But again, it was just cause of the environment, isn't it?
See that record as well, do you think that held you back maybe getting a bigger move?
Oh, most certainly. No, I mean, no bumming myself, but I could play, but it did, because if you don't apply yourself and you're doing stupid things, you know what I mean, word gets about and it was deprimental in my career, definitely.
Was there just no way of controlling your temper now?
No. No. No, it was just like, another aspect that I was all right, things would happen away from football and things like that, but it's just something just, and I used to go in the dressing room and go, no. You know what I mean? And just totally regret it, you know what I mean? But that's it.
After Thistle, second time, moved to Dundee, trained at Castle Huntley.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
I was all right. You know what I mean? At the prison and that, and the big parliament was in there and that. And used to take him up and put some beer round the back for him.
Jimmy Mack was telling us that, bro.
But again, that was mad and all, you know what I mean? But they were allowed to do it because I think it was the time they were ready to be released and all that. Uh-huh. But just used to put some beers round the corner and that for some of the boys.
Brilliant.
That was all right.
How did you like your time in Dundee?
Loved it. You know what I mean? I wish I would have went to a big club like that a bit earlier as well, you know what I mean?
Always linked to Celtic as well, as you said. What's the closest you came to going?
Well, the gaffer was telling me before he died, they'd been in contact with him before. I didn't know, but the time was the time I played that game down at Old Trafford. And I was going down to the game, it's well documented, I was going down to the game the Monday. I was in a pub on the Sunday. I think I'm an alcoholic.
Was this up another pub in Postle? You've named it at 6.
I'm a pals with pubs. So the gaffer phones me and said that they wanted me to play, and I told him I had a drink. He said, just go up and get your bed, go down. So I've travelled in with the car in the morning with my pals who were going, and then met the players at the hotel, changed into my suit in the car, into the hotel, played the game, done well. And after the game, Thistle were going to Portugal. Season was finished. They were going for the week, the next week. And Celtic were going to Canada for 3 weeks. But after the game, Lou McCarry came up and said to me, what's your plans? I said, nothing. I said, Thistle's going away for a week to Portugal. But he never asked me. That's how the gripe I've got with him. He never asked me to come to Canada. Because if he would ask me to go to Canada, I would have went in a minute. You know what I mean? So he said, well, that's OK. I'll see you when you come back. But again, so I'm on Portugal thinking I'm going to probably maybe sign for Celtic when I came back, and I was delighted, you know what I mean? And then I got a phone call for a journalist saying he's in Canada, saying if you would have wanted to sign for Celtic, you would have came to Canada. And that was
they never even asked you to go.
No, and I was absolutely gutted. So when I came back, I phoned him up and said, no, but he ended up getting the sack, but I gave him pelters, you know what I mean? Mm. Because even the one game, I was delighted anyway.
Did you do well in the game, huh?
Done all right, aye.
Did you not get, was it Giggs's top your boy wanted you?
My boy Gary asked me to get Giggs's autograph, and I said, I'm not asking for an autograph. And then 10 minutes before the game was finished, it came into my head. I said to Giggs, got to get your jersey. He said, aye. Chico, no, he didn't. Didn't know who I was. So he said, aye, so I got the jersey right after the game. And then I went in the dressing room, I said, I want the Celtic jersey. And I went back in and chapped the door. I asked my jersey back and he gave us it back. I was like, what did she all about? So that was that, but that was great.
Uh-huh. Do you think you were good enough to play for him at that time?
Aye, most definitely. I probably would have applied myself better again, but again, I don't know. But I would definitely, I could have played, you know what I mean? I could have played for him, no bother.
Uh-huh. So you missed out on that, but you signed for another big club in Hibs. How did that come about?
Well, that was Duff. Duff signed me for Dundee, and then Duff got the Hibs job, and then we played St Johnstone, and I get sent off again. Well, we were playing St Johnstone about Christmas, I think it was, and Robbie Ray said, lovely big guy, big centre off, caused the first goal, scored an OG, I equalised, caused the second goal, and I was in the rant with him, and then I end up slapped him on the park, and I get sent off.
What, you didn't play?
I'm embarrassing. They were unable to take me. So
he was a big guy, so wasn't he?
I know, he's a lovely guy. Yeah. I know. I mean, but I was just stupid. I get embarrassed about it. So Cowboy, he took over for Duff, and then I never went to training. And Cowboy said, "Oh, Cowboy, do you want to just go?" And I just signed him to go. And then Duff was at Hibs, and Duff phoned me and I went through and signed for Hibs. But Duff was clever. Duff put my wages. I can't remember what it was, 500 quid or something, but on appearance. You know what I mean? Most of my wages would be going to appearance. Man, it was an extra, another 500 or something on appearance.
You know stopped me from getting sent off.
So I had to play. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I think I only get sent off D twice only. The 1 week, you know, it was. So that's what Duff did. And then I played. I think I was two bookings away for getting suspended. I'd done brilliant right up until, I think it was three games or four games to go. And then Big Joe McLaughlin, me and him were arguing on the park, and I was one booting away if he gets suspended. And I pushed him, he pushed me. I get booked in that, and I get suspended for the last three games of the season. And the playoffs, they end up, Hibs went in the playoffs. Uh-huh. But they managed to beat Airdrie and stay up.
So you were skint for the summer? You never got your appearance?
No, I got my wages. Uh-huh, yeah. But it was only three games. But and then I was me, so...
How big a club are Hibs?
Massive. I didn't realise it was so big. They were a massive club, you know what I mean?
In terms of what, just fans?
Aye. Uh-huh. Fan base was brilliant. But again, the history, I know the history of the clubs, but they were a massive club, you know what I mean? And I do wish I would have went to Hibs maybe 25, 26.
How'd you enjoy the derbies, isn't it?
Aye, good.
Good atmosphere.
Brilliant. Uh-huh. Brilliant.
Did you find pressure playing at a bigger club,
no,
or did you take it?
I didn't find any pressure playing any football. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where. And it's not been big either. I just didn't. Because you were in your comfort zone, that's what I felt. You know what I mean? You're comfortable and you knew what you could do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Who were the good players at Hibs had at that time?
Darren Jackson was excellent. You know what I mean? He was scoring the goals. He's moved to Celtic. You know what I mean? But Duff was unlucky there again because Big Yogi got injured. And Gordon Hunter got injured, Sean Dennis got injured, three centre halves, no round about. And then the second season, just before Christmas, they end up sacking Duff. So they gave Big Alec the job. But there's still plenty of time to keep them up. Mm-hmm. And then Hibs went down. And then Alec took them, they won the championship, took them off. But if they were given Duff time, no doubt, I'm sure he would have kept them up anyway.
I need to ask you about the Larsson pass here. What did you think when you first seen that? And did you think he'd go on his career? He did after that?
He was hopeless.
Was he hopeless, eh?
No.
No, that game was he hopeless?
No, he came on as a sub. No, he came on as a sub, but I didn't know him, but for Sweden, cups him on Sweden when I was earlier. But I never thought any. But I see the misplaced partner I scored. He said I've made a living out of that. I've done a thing for Celtic TV, just not long after. They were doing a DVD and I got £1,000 for talking on it.
Did you? Huh?
Aye. But again, he was sensational. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But that could have happened to anybody, you know, in the past. He just misplaced it. And that was that. But he was something else.
So would you think it was just injuries that went wrong for Duff at Hibs?
Well, obviously... Duff at Mrs. Selly got some things wrong with signings and getting rid of experienced players too early. Mm-hmm. But I've no doubt, you know what I mean, if he would have, if they're stuck with him, he would have turned it round, because I think it was only a couple of games, you know what I mean, to turn it round, you know what I mean? And then, but Big Alec, they went down, as I say, I think it was still 16, 17 games left, so that was no Duff's fault.
What did you make of Big Alec?
Well, that was my own fault again, because when Alec got the job, and I knew, I said, he'll know. So I never went to training the first 2 days to meet him.
Why not?
I just never went. I just said, I knew it would be a waste. But it was silly. I should have went and maybe see it. But I never went. And David Elliott, who's a good pal of mine, and he's still with him. And I said, I'm not going in. And then I goes in the Wednesday. So maybe about 26 days training. Big Alex says, check, going over there with the two young boys and train with him. And I said, right, do you want me to just go up and see Rod Petrie and see if I can think? He said, aye. So that was that. And I got to Rod Petrie, true story. Billy McNeil was there. Billy was there as, I think it was a chief exec type thing. And his office was all there, and Petrie was there. An open plan. So I got there. And me and Petrie were haggling over 500 quid. That was my savings. So we're haggling over that. And I said, well, no, today. I said, I'll toss you for the 500 quid to Rod Petrie, right? So Big Billy McNeil's sitting there. He said, what? And he was astounded. I said, I'll toss you for it. I said, if you win, you take it. If I win, I get it. And it was only 500 quid for it. So I said, Billy, aye. He said, go ahead, toss this coin. Big Billy comes in, what? And I told him, what? Said, no bother. Big Billy tosses the coin, he's that one. But if I'm the lowest, I was the coin. Big Billy. Signed his book for us a couple of years later, and that I was at a dinner elsewhere, and the guy was at Billy's dinner, and I said, get him to sign that book for me, and he signed it to check. He still won the toss.
Brilliant, eh?
Magic.
How good's that?
And Billy took he took our game when Duff left. The Duff left before Alec came in. We played Aberdeen up there, and Big Bully took the team with Tam McAdam at that night. But he was brilliant.
What age were you last game?
My last game was 39. But I hardly played. I was a sub, you know what I mean?
So what, just about the dressing room and helping with the youths?
Oh, took the youths, aye.
Enjoying it?
It was all right, you know what I mean?
Hard?
It was hard, you know what I mean? Try to tell them not to do what I done.
Was it satisfying to call it a day with the football?
Well, you always want to play, you know what I mean? But with the youths, and then going to Clyde with Duff, you know what I mean? Finishing there, but it was good.
Just last question about Thistle, your time at Thistle, how would you look back on it?
Time at Thistle was superb, you know what I mean? I'll tell you quickly a true story. I get inducted in Thistle's Hall of Fame, right? So Bertie all get inducted the same night. So we're up there, so we're sitting, and I was drinking my wife ways. So we was doing it after it. So there's a guy standing down the bottom of the stairs with about 20 bottles of whiskey, 50 miniatures, to commemorate Thistle beating Celtic in the League Cup final 1971. So the boy said to me, "Chick, you want a bottle of whiskey?" I said, "No, I don't drink whiskey." He said, "Take a bottle of whiskey." I said, "I don't drink whiskey." I said, "Oh, geez, I'll take it for my ma." He's given me it, and he's went, £28. Give him £28.
Absolutely done you. Chick, been a pleasure, mate. Thanks very much.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers, mate.